Hierdie inset word aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.
Goeiedag luisteraars, hartlik welkom hier by die geselsprogram Kopskuif met my Mirsha Eksteen. En dit is vandag vir my 'n wonderlike voorreg om vir Grant Dryden van Farming God's Way te verwelkom. Welcome, Grant.
Thank you so much, Mirsha. It's great to be on your show with you.
Thanks. We are so looking forward to hear your story and to, yes, just hear what you have to share with us today. So let's start at the very beginning. What is Farming God's Way?
I've had the privilege, Michelle, of being able to extend Farming God's Way for the past 23 years. And I think it's probably one of the most difficult questions to answer because the answer just keeps on growing in its fullness. When you enter into this journey with understanding this incredible tool that God's given for the body of Christ to transform the lives of the poor, you just realize as you go deeper and deeper into it, it's just such an incredible multifaceted solution for transforming communities from the bottom up. And so if I had to say what the mission statement of Farming God's Way is, it's equipping the poor for abundant life in Christ. And yeah, we are very much a faith-based initiative, and we are very much not ashamed of the gospel because the power of God to salvation. Yeah, so Farming God's Way really is this a tool to be able to transform lives in the agricultural sector from the bottom up. And it's a well-balanced tool tackling an holistic approach to what is the essence of the problem. You know, in South Africa, we've got a lot of problems going on right now. And I just feel in my heart that we've been, as the church, hitting a lot of the targets, but we're not hitting some of the major targets with the right tools, you know. And this is what Farming God's Way brings to the party as a resource or a tool for equipping the body of Christ to be able to help the poor around them. And see God's transformation come about, you know, in empowering people to help themselves.
It's very powerful. I can imagine this is a journey that just keeps on growing. And sometimes you just look back and am amazed by the things that's happening. So Farming God's Way make use of 6 biblical keys. Do you want to share more about these different keys with us?
Yeah, that would be a great privilege. You know, I feel whenever people ask about what Farming God's Way is, they are very quick to jump into the technology of, okay, so what makes Farming God's Way different to this type of agriculture or that type of agriculture and all that? But what they don't realize is that, you know, we base Farming God's Way on like 3 spheres of influence. And it's like a 3-legged poiky pot, you know. I even said poiky like an Afrikaner.
Yes, you did very, yes.
Good, okay.
You did very well, Grant.
Bye, thank you. So this 3-legged pot of like a poiky pot, if you picture it like that, we talk about biblical keys, management keys, and technology keys. And so if you remove one of those keys, one of those legs of that pot, that poiky ends up right in the fire, whether it be a poiky pot full of mealie-meal for the poor or a poiky pot with your best roast inside of it, it's going to end up in the fire. And I believe that's what the kingdom, when Jesus was speaking about the kingdom of God coming, he was talking about that kind of balance. He was saying the kingdom of God's like leaven in the dough. It must go into every facet of one's life. And so when we're talking about like a holistic transformation of the lives of the poor, we really cannot ignore the issues of the heart. And the issues of the heart are going to be transformed. The issues of the spirit are going to be transforming through the biblical key. So one of the first one is to acknowledge God and God alone. And I think we could spend like hours just teaching like on the radio show every one of these keys. I've written extensively online. People can read into them. But to acknowledge God and God alone, consider your ways, for you are the temple of the living God, is number two. Number three is understanding God's all-sufficiency, that he's given us everything that we need to create wealth. The number four is sowing and reaping, and we're all very familiar with that, you know, and bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse and staking our claim. So those six biblical keys, without sort of delving deeply into them, are keys that, you know, through a lot of work into poor communities over the last 23, 25 years, have been fundamental in unlocking the transforming power that comes through the gospel. And these biblical keys are directly in association with this agricultural domain where God has called us to work within. And, you know, every one of those keys unpacks the solution based on what we're seeing as massive problem areas in community. It unpacks that solution through a biblical standard. And I do feel like we as the body of Christ have got to come back to that absolute truth of God's ways, the absolute truth of the Word of God, which has the ability to pierce between bone and marrow and bring the light into the darkness.
Absolutely. And tell me, this is now leg one of the poikie.
Yeah, that's leg one. Yeah.
So take us to leg two, please.
Okay, so the second leg is the management keys, and there are four management keys. And this is one of the very fascinating parts of an agricultural solution. And people say, why are you teaching management and agriculture? Well, I can tell you, in the last 23 years and observing different farmers and different implementers and different partners, this is a very, very important leg to be able to sort out. So we are teaching in our management keys, our objective in management is sustainable profitability. So in order to be able to get people to come out from under the yoke of oppression, which is God's heart, invested and communicated through Isaiah 58, where he said, this is the true fast which I've chosen, to loosen, remove, and break every yoke, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, bring the homeless poor into your house. So, you know, the mandate of Isaiah 58 is a directive. But how do we get them there? You know, how do we get them? Are we going to perpetuate dependency by continuing to give handouts, or are we going to be able to break the cycle? And in order to, part of this plan is that we would be able to equip the poor to be able to enter into sustainable profitability. If you can't make a profit, you are never going to come out from under the yoke of poverty. So we're going to tackle some of those key fundamentals of management. And, you know, if people are not making a profit, they're forced to do one of three things: to beg, to borrow, or to steal. And so if you look at those three things and you look in the communities that we are finding ourselves in right now, we're seeing all of those traits, and they are not traits of the kingdom of God. We're seeing a huge amount of begging. We're seeing a huge amount of borrowing with massive consequential problems. We're seeing the stealing going on, which is rampant throughout our nation and the nations of the world. And they are rooted in the fact that we can't make a profit. So this has affected the agricultural sector, and that leads us into our management keys, which are doing things on time to high standards with minimal wastage and with the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Grant, you refer to a very well-balanced three-leg poikie, and you've touched on the biblical keys and you've touched on the management keys. Would you like to also refer and explain your six technology keys to us?
Yeah, so this has been something that continues to evolve in my understanding as I've written these materials over the last 23 years. And I always say to people, you know, people are looking for like the silver bullet, you know, in agriculture. They're looking for a one-hit wonder, you know, something miraculous. And they are searching the world and the world's wisdom to be able to unlock technological solutions. But for me, I'm a very simple guy, you know, like I have an honors degree in agriculture, most of which qualified in 1993. most of which I had to forget, just to tell the listeners, for those who are wondering whether they should go and study agriculture. But I have got to that place, Moshe, where I'm really pursuing a humility of heart and a humility of my knowledge, a humility of my wisdom. And the entry point for farming God's way is understanding this, that in the beginning, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. And the same God who is an absolute wonder to me, I stand in awe of God's creation. I stand in awe of all the things that he's done. I stand in awe of what Jesus has done, you know, in my own life. And I see what he's doing and transforming communities. And he's just so incredible, this God of ours. And, you know, you go through the whole story of creation, and on day three, he makes every plant yielding fruits and seed after its own kind. Day four, he makes the sun. You know, like, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You know, he does it the wrong way around in our perspective. But we realize that, you know, like, we've got to come to that point in our lives where we understand that the knowledge that we have is so minuscule. I always talk about myself having a pea-sized brain. I know that you've got a much bigger one than me, Moshe, but
no ways. You know,
no, when we really put ourselves in our place,
yes,
in the greater scheme of the master of creation, the Lord of creation, and we start to begin to understand that from that point of humility, we have to go back. We've got to go back. You know, Romans 1 verse 20 says that. It says that since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, divine power, and eternal nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what's been made, so that mankind is without excuse. When you look at a passage of scripture and the depth of that scripture, we're going right, we need to go right back to creation. And in the creation story, after God makes man, all of a sudden in Genesis, you know, what's it, 2 verse 8, the Bible says that, it says, and the Lord God made a garden in the east of Eden. And it's just so wow. You know, it's not God said to Adam, go, okay, now like some lowly task I'm going to make, go and make a garden somewhere, or go and start farming, Adam, I'm telling you to do that. No, the Lord of all creation himself, the one who made light, the one who made every plant, every cloud design, every the tectonic plates, the fish of the thousands of fish species, thousands of bird species around the world, thousands of animal species, the same God, this awesome God of ours, becomes the first farmer by making a garden. He becomes the master farmer because he knows everything from the inside out. And the humility of heart that I've had to journey in this time has been, oh, Grant, you need to go back. You need to go back to that Lord of all creation, because he says, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, divine power, and eternal nature have been seen. So when we look, when we start to look, we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to say, you want some fancy bullet. You want some fancy technology. Well, I want to tell you, Mercer, the fancy technologies of the world are not working. They're not working. We are eating rubbish. We are eating food that has been pumped full of pesticides and herbicides, and we are eating all that junk. We're seeing all the yields declining worldwide unless they are propped up by over-fertilizing. And what are we over-fertilizing with? We're feeding plants with the nutrients that are not sufficient to be able to make the necessary vitamins, carotenoids, and flavonoids that we need for healthy living. And we have got to come to that point as humanity where those of us who are in the world but not of it, talking about believers, where we start to humble ourselves and go back to following the Lord of all creation. Some people say to me, Grant, how can you call farming God's way, farming God's way? And I'm saying, guys, you need to understand, this is a journey of humility. If you want to enter this journey, you need to humble yourself.
Yes.
You need to humble yourself. And like Jesus, he says he was the Lord of, he was in the creation story. He spoke things into being. Jesus himself gets humbled and he gets born of a woman. He gets born of a woman that he made. That very humility demonstrated in Christ needs to be inside of us, so that we would, as an agricultural industry, say, come on, guys. We are not looking for anything. We want to follow the Lord of all creation. We want to emulate every single thing that He's shown for us to do from the very beginning. And when we enter this journey with that state of heart,
yes,
I tell you what, the Lord exalts the humble, eh? And the revelation of these truths of seeing transformation in lives and livelihoods around the world today. I can tell you hundreds of testimonies, but one top farmer I started walking with before I even started teaching farming God's way in Malawi. He went from his father, he was eating a meal every second day. He went from his father's yield of 3 bags on an acre to in his first year, he started doing farming God's way, but very low standards. And he went to 5 bags. And his second year, he went to 45 bags. And third year, 54 bags. And fourth year, 69 bags from the same piece of ground, Mish. I mean, it's
amazing.
Absolute miracle. You know, where food security for that small family would have been 12 bags. You know, he goes from 3 to 5 to 45, 54, 69 bags. And you're seeing God bringing the revelation of his hope to the hopeless, you know, which is God's very heart. And we're seeing the transformation of the land and livelihoods and sustainable profitability being entered into. And it's not the end of the story, because after 19 years, he gets 113 bags, Mercia.
Unbelievable. I
mean, imagine going from 3 bags to 113 bags.
It's a new life.
Yeah, it's a transformation, and people get excited about that number. But the number is only part of the equation, because the man is completely transformed. The man is married and he's got children and he's feeding his family and sending his children to school and good schools. And his family are renowned in not only in the village, but internationally, you know.
Wow.
And we're seeing like the heart of God is like he can elevate us, those who prepare to humble themselves and walk in a manner that is worthy of the high call. Walk in the humility of heart where the acknowledgement is not a man's way, but the acknowledgement is, no, I'm choosing to humble myself and I'm choosing to go back to the standard that God established in that beginning when God created that garden in the East of Eden. And then after he made it and it's perfect, and I want to tell you, Moshe, that garden is incredible. I see it in my mind's eye, and I'm sure every listener who's ever thought about that garden, can you imagine what that garden looked like? There will never be another garden like that, because
indeed,
God is perfect in every way. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to take our target audience, and we've particularly focus on the least of these, the poorest of the poor. We're trying to take that audience on a journey of going back to that garden in the East of Eden and to emulate, which means to copy, means to try to come as close to all of the ways that God has displayed to us through his creation in a way that is manageable. So we teach 6 technology keys. And the first one is no plowing. So you can just imagine, you know, like, here we go. We are teaching farmers who have been farming for generations and my pa teruggeploeg and sy pa voor hom and sy pa voor hom. You know, so there's, I've got some more Afrikaans phrases for
well
you.
Well done, Grant. So well done.
You're
you are doing good.
Now carry on. So, you know, we've got these traditions of men, and the traditions of men in plowing is one of the hardest entry points to break. And I always say to farmers, guys, don't throw stones at me for saying no plowing. Don't throw stones at me, because I didn't design this.
Yes.
God did. When we're talking about farming God's way, we are saying we are entering this journey in humility of heart.
Yes.
And people say, God, but you're talking about plowing here. You know plowing, but God talks about plowing in the Bible, doesn't he? We have a radio show about radio pulpits, so we should mention that. God said he mentions plowing several times. You know, the story in Joel's mentioning about plowing, we hear about Elisha taking his, he was a plowman, a very good plowman by the sounds of things. We hear even of Jesus making mention of plowing. So, you know, I always say to people, do you think that plowing in Bible times looked like it does today? Okay, so first and foremost, a string of oxen, two or even four oxen, is never going to disturb soil, and it's to any depth greater than 10 centimeters. And it's certainly not going to throw soil over, because the moldboard plow, which is what we make particular reference to, or the disc plow, are plows that have only been invented in the 1800s. So up until that point, there was a great limiting factor in the force that plows could execute on soils. So, you know, when you're talking about Elisha dragging his single-tined or multi-tined harrows on the surface of the ground, it's a surface scratching to be able to maybe weed and make a light seed bed for Elisha to be able to plow on, you know. So these are very different concepts today, what we understand to be what plowing is, and Bible time plowing.
Indeed.
So we are really trying to get back to say, okay, well, if your father did this and this is your tradition, I want to challenge you today. Who is your father? It's a hard question to answer, right? Because when you come to the point of entry into these breaking of traditions, the traditions of men or the traditions of your heavenly father.
Yes.
When we become born again, we become a part of those who have the lineage of Christ. And when that spiritual lineage of Christ is imparted to us through becoming born again, we have now not only the mind of Christ, we have been set apart to become the children of God. We are set apart to be able to call him our heavenly father. And as a heavenly father, Jesus says, there's nothing that I do that I haven't seen my father do. There's nothing that I say that I haven't heard my father say. So now, if you are going back to that garden in the East of Eden, where God says, still to this day, his creation demonstrates his ways.
Yes.
And I can challenge any farmer today, go and have a look at that neighboring forest to where you are not disturbing soil, and go and look at the quality of that soil. Go and look at the porosity of the soil. Go and look at the organic matter levels of that soil. Go and stick your hands in it as a farmer. Go and look at it and say, okay, Lord, if I look at the soil, which would I choose to do? Would I choose to plant into this beautiful, deep, rich forest soil? Would I choose to plant into that soil that is light, has no porosity, that is eroding every year and completely destroyed in the soils that we've got in our country, you know, at the moment? And we are so far behind the world's trends, Misha. As an agriculturalist, there are more than 200 million hectares farmed without plowing. And in Africa, which is the biggest continent on earth, getting poorer and poorer,
yes,
we have just accomplished 1 million hectares farmed without plowing. So we're so far behind the rest of the world in these advancements, where the shift to no plowing is taking place on massive levels. And in South Africa, we are just entering this journey. We're some of the world leaders in no plowing, but we're still very far behind that mark, you know. So that's the first one, no plowing. The second one is what we call God's blanket. And God's blanket is made up of those leaves and twigs and fruits that fall to the surface of the ground, and they lie on the surface of the ground, decomposing over many years. You know, the decaying grasses, the annual perennials are falling to the ground, and they're also adding to that blanket cover. And the manure is obviously manure and urination is up by animals on the surface of that ground. And all of those plant organic materials are decomposing over much time. And they form this beautiful blanket cover as God protects his earth from evaporation, from erosion, and feeds the soil from the top. That's an incredible part of the plan. The third one is to practice biodiversity. So biodiversity is demonstrated, as we all widely know. God showed diversity in plants, in animals, birds, insects, fungi, bacteria, all kinds of arthropods inside the soil. And so we are trying to emulate what God's shown us through that biodiversity. And we do that through a number of ways, through rotations within rotations, using compost, high-quality compost, and building up those biodiverse elements inside of our soils where we need them. The fourth one is feeding plants from the top. Now, for those of you listeners who have heard about Farming God's Way for many years, and, you know, over the years, they might have read material, that would be a new one for listeners who've never heard that. And this is coming because, as I said to you, this is a multifaceted development. We are continually on this learning curve. And I'm going back to that garden in the East of Eden, Moshe, where all the time I'm saying, Lord, please, won't you show me more and more? I want to keep on learning from you, because you know the secrets, the mysteries of creation better than anybody. And just observing that organic matter decomposing on the surface of the ground, eventually, slowly but surely, it's breaking down and it's forming what we call black gold. And that's compost. And that black gold is releasing nutrients and humic and fulvic acids into the top layer of the soil profile. And that's how God designed for plants to feed. So it's an amazing part of the science, because if you ever go to a rainforest like Titicaca or a rainforest anywhere nearby you, you'll actually see as you're walking along huge amounts of root mass right inside that blanket cover. And you know the bulk of root mass inside a very mature forest station has a root mass all based in the first 50 centimeters of soil, which is counterintuitive for massive trees, which like our South African Otanequa yellowwoods, for example, can be a girth of 8 meters, you know. And that tree having a 50 centimeter shallow root system, why would that be? Well, plants are not stupid. They know that God designed for them to feed from the top. So what does man do? What do? We think, oh no, in order for a plant to feed, you have to integrate this plant material deep inside the soil profile. And farmers have been educated by the wisdom of man, saying, in order for a plant to feed, you have to integrate all this material as deep as you can for it to be able to have access. But plants have not been designed like that by God. Plants have been designed by God to be able to feed from the top, where all of that organic matter would naturally decompose and feed them into that top layer of profile. So it's such an interesting part of the science of and the mystery of God's creation. The fifth one is canopy. And canopy is also like a very complicated deep science. And I always feel like, you know, when we start to tackle some of these deeper scientific areas, it's hard to convey like where you start and where you stop. But the Lord has designed for plants to be in healthy competition with one another. And that healthy competition stimulates growth. That healthy competition also allows for the beneficial microclimate underneath that canopy to be able to assist plants in healthy, successful growth standards. And so it's a very important part of that. And we will emulate that canopy cover by planting plants in a spacing and population density based on its canopy cover. So the irony of this, and without getting too technical, is if you have, for example, a zucchini plant, it will have a canopy of very large canopy of maybe 1.5, 1.8 meters in diameter. Whereas if you look at a plant like a spring onion, the spring onion, by comparison, will have a tiny little canopy of maybe 10 centimeters wide. So you have to adjust the canopy size, the spacing between plants, sorry, to accommodate that, to be able to fulfill a God-created design, and that is for plants to be in canopy association so that we can get the benefits of what the Lord of all creation has shown in designing plants with canopies. So, you know, that's number five. And then the last one is permanence. Well, I'll say, oh, there we go, the last one that we communicate. And I'm 55 now, and I can probably hazard a guess that the Lord is going to continue to gradually release more and more of his wisdom over time. But when we talk about permanence, permanence is a key part of the plan. And when I refer to permanence, I refer to amazing part of God's scriptures. And, where people say, oh, Grant, how can you refer to permanence the way you do as a God-created design? And I want to just read a scripture to our audience.
Please.
And just say, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10 says, "For he says, order on order, order on order, line upon line, line upon line, a little here and a little there." And I just feel like when you understand what permanence does, it just brings chaos, you know, like, God, oh, God, I know one of the attributes, the characteristics of my Father in heaven is order on order. He brings it in my life. He's brought it into your life, I'm sure. And I'm sure that in the listeners today, you listen to that scripture and you can immediately reflect on the things that you do where God himself and his character has revealed a message of order, and line upon line is these precepts upon precepts. He talks about that throughout scripture, and he brings this order into chaos. And that's one of the attributes of God's character that I absolutely delight in. Proverbs 4 verse 11 and 12 says, "I will instruct you in the way of wisdom, and I will lead you along straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. And when you run, you won't stumble." And I just read scriptures like that, and I just see how God's order coming in our lives is an order of the heart. It's an order of the mind. It's an order of the application of the work of our hands. And, you know, this is not the order when we hear in Parliament, you know, order, 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 and there's no order. You know, we are not referring to that kind of
sure.
order. We are talking about the order of our Heavenly Father,
yeah.
where, you know, Jesus mentioned that. He says, you know, when he talks about the centurion that comes to him, you know, and the centurion says, "I say to this one, come, and he comes, and this one, go, and he goes, and no, you don't have to come to me, Lord." You know, it's like, and Jesus says, he has a man who understands authority, you know, and our God is a God of authority and order. There's a plan, there's a purpose, there's a direction, and this is what we bring to the table in our gardens. These permanent pegs and these rows and these measurements and all these things bring order into the chaos of our implementation agriculturally. And it's a phenomenal part of the plan, which really does transform our gardens in miraculous ways.
Grant, it is such a blessing to listen to you. I think you are a disciple, and you are really equip the poor to come out of poverty with what God has put in their hands and to reveal the fullness of his promised abundant life. So farming God's way is more than planting. It's trusting, it's caring, it's working with purpose. Can you tell us more about your training programs?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, over the years, when I first started extending Farming God's Way internationally, I really ran myself ragged. I was traveling 5-6 months a year, every year, with small children, and it was very, very demanding. It was very, very a lot of time away. And early on, from 2006, one of the key parts of the revealed plan was to be able to release this tool as a tool, you know, like to be able to release accredited trainers who would run with the training within their own spheres of influence.
Mm.
So, you know, for example, just to talk a little bit about one of our values is that Farming God's Way is not an organization. And that's a very important part of the plan, because we see Farming God's Way 100% as a resource, as a tool for all organizations, churches, mission stations, individuals, for people who've got a call of God in their lives, to be able to run with this tool called Farming God's Way, and to be able to pick it up and to be able to extend this message of hope into their sphere of influence. So when we talk about training programs, you know, we are adamant that we want to release this tool. I can't do it. You know, I can't do it on my own. It's not about me. It's never been about me. It's always been about God and revealing this promised abundant life through the wider body of Christ. And so in the South African context, which is, well, let me start regionally. We've got 98 accredited trainers who are working around the world under their own coverings. And it's a real blessing to see Farming God's Way touching into South America, Nicaragua, Guatemala, into Central America, Mexico and Cuba, into the States, into parts of Europe, into Asia, into Indonesia, into the Australasias. It's just been incredible. And obviously, our core focus has been a focus on Africa. And so we've got Farming God's Way widely spread throughout the nations in Africa. And in just for this particular audience is a South African-based audience. So one of the key things that I've had to adjust in our South African context is that we've got a very weak agrarian culture amongst the poor. And it's for good reason. And I don't think we'll get time to get into that reason, but if time allows, we may. But our communities, our poor communities are not agrarian. That means they are not farming predominantly large areas of land. They're market gardeners, or they are home nutrition gardeners. And so in the South African context, one of the things that I've had to adapt over the years is getting our South African training particularly geared towards a vegetable production training, so that we get good, healthy nutrition into homes, into our children. This next generation are undernourished, not in terms of the volume of food that they eat like the rest of Africa might be, but they are undernourished in terms of mostly because of the nutritional supply, the balance of nutrition. So we focus most of our SA-based training in the Cape, in the Western Cape, in Port Elizabeth, where I'm based, into the Ciskei, into the Transkei, into KZN, the Free State, into the Gauteng area, and into the Limpopo districts. We focus our zonal training particularly into a vegetable-based initiative, so that we're getting good, healthy nutrition into individuals' homes. So I've been teaching this material widely in our, I don't know how many thousand people I've trained in South Africa alone, but I know that just in Port Elizabeth, we've trained over 3,500 at our Farming God's Way station here at Grass Roof. And it's not even the tip of the iceberg. Just in the Eastern Cape in the 2013-2014 years, I trained 2,500 people just in the region of the Eastern Cape. And, you know, between there's about 30, 35 national accredited trainers in South Africa. So collectively, I would estimate, there's a lot of thousands and thousands of people have been trained. But it was only in 2020 that I shifted some of my focus. And it was a revelation during the COVID crisis. So we're all familiar with that crisis. And it was a time of prayer and reflection where everything is shut down except us, agriculturalists, you know. So we were literally harvesting our product in the schools, big school gardens that we were helping, mission stations that we were helping. And we were loading that product up and literally taking it to communities. And within 30 seconds, Mersha, that product was gone. It was just, people were desperate. They were so angry. People were starving. They never had nutrition, beetroot, spinach, carrots, spring onion, sweet corn, no matter what we were, zucchini, patty pans, no matter what we harvested, it would literally be 30 seconds of product arriving to be able to help the poor. And we knew we were not hitting the tip of the iceberg with the nutritional needs. And so I said, Lord, why don't you give us 100 gardens like this, then a few steps, 1,000 gardens like this, because it's not enough. And I thought, you know, Moshe, we've got 35% unemployment in this nation. Where do we go to with that? How do we make an impact with 1,000 gardens? We've got 30, you know, 35% of 69 million people, you know, is how many thousands of people, how many million people do not have food security in our nation? And so I said, Lord, I put a peg in the ground. I said, Lord, give us 1 million gardens in this country. And he challenged me back, said, Grant, what are you going to do differently? And so we rolled out just very briefly. We started rolling out a new program called Gardens of Faithfulness, which has been incredible. Just in our metro, in Nelson Mandela Metro, we've distributed 17,800 Gardens of Faithfulness just in our metro, Masha. And, you know, those gardens are bringing healthy nutrition into every single family that those 17,000 gardens are going to. Our vision for this metro is 100,000 Gardens of Faithfulness 3 times a year. We're nowhere near that number, but we've begun. And that's what the word says. You know, don't despise a day of small beginnings, for the Lord delights to see the work begin. And we began that journey. And it's been so cool having Atia Kofia get on board with us in the last 2 years. We love working with the Atia Kofia group, because they are already positioned by God as a part of the body of Christ. And they are partnering with our accredited trainer in Somerset West, with us in Port Elizabeth. The Bloom guys are doing fantastic work. The guys in the Gauteng work are getting on board. And so I think nationally they are close to 1,000 Gardens of Faithfulness already through the Atia Kofia, which brings me a lot of joy, because we're seeing a kingdom partner getting on board, catching the vision and rolling it out through their own spheres of influence, you know, and seeing the gospel go out. It's not a handout. People don't get this for free. They have to buy that Garden of Faithfulness. But we are creating the platforms to be able to break dependency, to empower the poor, to be able to help themselves, and seeing the kingdom of God break forth like the dawn, which is the heart of Isaiah 58.
Grant, here on your website, this is so powerful. God himself was the very first farmer, and as the creator, he knows what is best for his creation. Therefore, he is also the master farmer. So what an absolutely blessing it is to hear this story. This is an amazing solution to the food security and poverty crisis. So yes, don't go away. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. And we come back, we listen to this wonderful life-changing story of Grant Dryden and farming God's way. Rooted in compassion, motivated by obedience, delivered with love. This is Farming God's Way. What a privilege to have Grant Dryden on the show today. Grant, just before the break, you referred to the partnership with the Atia Kofia. Do you just want to quickly tell us more about the Faithfulness Gardens?
So the Gardens of Faithfulness has just been an incredible part of God's revelation. And, you know, when I first started to conceptualize this and our team here developed it together, you know, we developed a tool that is a tool that can be facilitated through, you know, individual partners or mission partners and Atia Kofia have become one of those, which is incredible. We're just so delighted to be able to work with them. And they carry the heart of God. They're already a Christian-based initiative. They've got a heart for the poor, and they're well established in working with communities. And they too approached us because you know, the very typical nature of working in communities is, okay, what we need to do is feed the poor. And so typically NGOs or missions or churches are making gardens to be able to provide healthy nutrition for the poor in their communities. That's a very, very common trend. But the truth about it is they don't work. There's all kinds of complexity that cost a huge amount of money. And at the end of the day, they don't empower the poor. Yes, they're able to feed the hungry. They are able to give some soup, good nutrition in the soups and stews that go into the soup kitchens. But the empowerment side is a complete lack, because, you know, basically people are coming in there and they maybe get a little bit of food for work or something. The work ethic is very low. There's all kinds of strife and who's going to get paid and who's not going to get paid. And the NGO or the mission organization has spent a lot of money to be able to try and prop up these so-called solutions and these communal garden solutions, which actually don't work. And I've been doing this a long time, been involved in this industry for ages, and everyone that I've seen are failing terribly. Yes. So how do we break out of that? And that's where the Gardens of Faithfulness comes in. And the Gardens of Faithfulness are little 1 by 2 meter gardens that everything that we teach in Farming God's Way at a very simplistic level is adopted by an individual. So a Garden of Faithfulness is something like, what do you need? It costs you, for us, for our community, we are able to get, because we buy in bulk for our model farm, we buy thousands and thousands, like literally hundreds of thousands of seedlings. We get them at beneficial rates. So we transfer that beneficial rate of 30 seedlings, which is 10 spinach, 10 spring onion, 10 beetroot, and 25 bean seeds in a pack with a brochure, color brochure, and Farming God's Way step-by-step procedure for 20 rand. And that 20 rand is paid for by the individual. So say, for example, the Archer Coffee partner in Port Elizabeth is Christy. She's got, say, I think there were 50 or 60 Gardens of Faithfulness that went out with her particular group. Those people then buy that Garden of Faithfulness from her. So she's a conduit for that Garden of Faithfulness kit to reach her community. So we're buying it. We're transferring it at no profit back to a conduit in the who working in the community, and then they are handing on those kits. But those community members pay their 20 rand. We are not going to prop up this dependency syndrome. This is a part of the yoke. When Isaiah 58 says to loosen, remove, and break every yoke, if we are continuing to feed the hungry without empowering them, that is putting a yoke of dependency on them. And Jesus said, I've come to break every yoke. I've come to set the captives free. But in our wanting to do good, oftentimes we actually put a yoke on people. And so it's been amazing to see the Otia Kofia get on board with a lot of different other partners nationally who are running with the Gardens of Faithfulness program. And they really are entering this program for the, you know, in the early days now. And I'm very excited to see what's going to happen. One of their partners is a lady up in Burgersdorp. And I don't think I would love to share about her name and that, but she's working in the children's prison. And she's been taking these young prison kids on the Gardens of Faithfulness program, where every one of those kids have their own garden. And she's expanding their gardens as they're faithful, because the objective is not to stay with a 1 by 2 meter garden. It's to go from 1 by 2 to 2 by 2 to 3 by 2. And then you go 6 by 6. And then you go 10 by 10. And then you've been empowered with the skill sets to be able to sell and make a profit. You know, so it's incredible to see some of these transformative efforts and how she's been able to disciple some of those kids in the prison through this opportunity of working hands-on, side by side with these people. And this is God's heart. Not only word, you see, like I feel this is a weakness in the body. We are very, the body of Christ, we are very good at talking. You know, but the gospel of the kingdom is what Jesus came to bring. And it's a gospel of word and deed. Word and deed. They are balanced because, you know, this act of obedience, you know, that's rooted in compassion is God's heart. You know, this is why the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. It's the rooting in compassion. But the act of obedience is in Isaiah 58. But how do you do that? How do we feed the 35% of our nation who are unemployed? How do we do that? When are the grants going to stop? I mean, dare I say it? When are the grants in our nation going to stop? And the body of Christ is fast asleep, because I believe that in this next generation, the grants are going to stop, because we just don't have the wherewithal to be able to grow as a population and continue to prop up a false economy. We've got to teach people to be able to feed themselves, to be able to sell and make a profit, because all of the industry, all of the mechanized industry, all of the mining sectors are actually cutting jobs. The job index is a horrible index to observe as somebody who has a heart for our nation. But there's one industry I want to say to you, listeners, one industry that is remaining untouched, and that's our agricultural sector. Food security comes through agriculture and by teaching people these small gardens of faithfulness. And as they expand and grow, they can sell and make a profit out of those gardens. You know, you pay 20 Rand, but the value of that nutrition garden is 550 Rand. So we've done the maths of that. You get 550 Rand for investing 20. That's a great return on investment. And that's the heart. You know, we are not going to give any inputs. People are going to use manure that's readily available. We are not going to give God's blankets because it's readily available on roadsides and road cuttings and people's lawn clippings and leaf litter in gardens. There's plenty of blanket around. We are not going to give any of these handouts. We're teaching people how to use the resources that are part of our third biblical key, which is God's all-sufficiency, revealing hope where there is no hope. And we're seeing all of these thousands of gardens, you know, just in our metro with the 17,000 odd gardens. We worked out the other day, I can't remember the exact number, but it's between 8 or 9 million Rand worth of economic upliftment in terms of true value in households if people had bought that nutrition.
Yes.
You know, it's just incredible that how God's economy works from the part to the whole. And when I saw this Gardens of Faithfulness program, Moshe, I could see the million gardens and I could see the health and the nutrition getting into homes and getting brain food into children. You know, I could see all of that, but I never saw the economic upliftment in the numeracy as we walk this journey out. And I'm starting to get a greater revelation of that over this time. But, you know, that's not about that. It's about empowering the poor to be able to help themselves with the knowledge that God has given to us through his creation, but also the importation of the heart of God to be able to bring the liberty that brings transformation to the heart first, the renewal of the mind second, and the application of that in the word of works of our hands.
Grant, I am so, so sorry that this program is right, like almost at the end now. And there are just so many more questions I would love to ask. But as I was listening to you, I thought I'm going to change all my plans. And I think I'm going to ask you to end this wonderful, blessed interview for us with a prayer.
To be my great privilege. Father God, Lord, you have the ability to allow for your Holy Spirit to transfer through the airwaves and across distance and time. And Holy Spirit, I just ask right now in Jesus' name that you reach into the heart of every listener and grab them with your heart, Lord God. Your heart for the poor, heart for the captive, Lord God, your heart for those under the yoke of oppression. I pray that your impartation, Lord, would be manifold and way above my wildest dreams out of this interview, Lord God. That you would reach right beyond the barriers of hard and calloused hearts towards the poor today, Lord. And you would soften the heart of stone, Lord. I pray that you'd reach right within the heart of every listener, Lord God, to be able to realize that they have been positioned for such a time as this, to be your hands, to be your feet, to be your mouthpiece, to bring liberty to those that are under the yoke of oppression, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that by your Holy Spirit, you'd shine your light deep into their hearts, that they may be a representation of your glorious light, that there may be those that would advance the kingdom of God in this day, in this age, Lord, that we would see our nation come together, Lord, in unity and purpose, Lord, under one God with one message, Lord, that your kingdom would come on earth in our nation as it is in heaven, Lord, we pray. Lord, we pray that we would be a nation who love one another, that we would be a nation where we would be able to reach beyond the barriers of racial issues, Lord, reach beyond the issues of political division or color division, Lord God, or language division. And we'd be a nation who serve you with all of our heart and are united around purpose, Lord. Lord, let us be purposeful, Lord, in fulfilling the true fast as mandated by Isaiah 58. And Lord, let us be a nation of people as believers, Lord. Lord, we know that this repentance, Lord God, you're calling for to come begins in the house of the Lord. Lord, let us repent, Lord, of looking after our own selfish ambitions, Lord God, and not seeking after your heart, Lord. Let us be those who would pursue the purposes of God in our generation, Lord, like that has been forgotten, Lord, as we begun to not lean into your purpose, Lord, but lean into our own selfish ambitions, Lord. We ask, Lord, for humility. With all humility, Lord, would you forgive us, Lord God? Would you lead us into your righteousness, your right standing, that your name may be high and lifted up and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Grant, thank you, thank you. So listeners, you are very welcome to visit Farming God's Ways website. Grant, if there's any listener with any questions, where then can they contact you?
Yeah, they can go through our website. It's the easiest to get the contact details, www.farming-gods-way.org. And on that website, if you look on the contact page there, it's probably the easiest to find. The email address is info@farming-gods-way.org. And that's probably the easiest way. There is a contact number on that website for particular information, and we'll happily steer you to regional leaders in Farming God's Way, whether it be in Cape Town or in the greater Eastern Cape area, into Gauteng and in KZN, or into the Limpopo district for any listeners that are found in those areas. Happily steer you into training opportunities that are on there within the areas of influence. But yeah, thank you so much for hosting me today. It's been a great privilege to be able to share some of my heart and the heart of God with our listeners.
Amen. We appreciate. Thank you, Grant. And yes, what a wonderful, wonderful journey. Also to know that you are part of creation itself. So yes, what a wonderful journey. May you be blessed. Thank you for today. And yes, we are looking forward with you to all the promises and all the change and all the transformation that Farming's God Way will bring.
Thank you very much, Marcia. Appreciate it. God bless you.
Listeners, this was Grant Dryden from Farming God's Way. It was amazing to listen to Grant. Farming God's Way is teaching farmers not only to care for their environment, but also to embrace transformational development, gain key business skills, and create hope for the future. If you would like to read more on all the biblical keys, the management keys, the technology keys, if you want to become part of their faithfulness gardens, yes, please visit their website. And thank you for tuning in. This is me, Mersha Ekstein, en al wat dan van my oorbly is om te sê, mag julle 'n wonderlike week hê. Ons kuier volgende week verder, en indien jy weer na hierdie program wil luister, gaan maak gerus 'n draai by kypulpit.co.za en klik op kopskuif en op potgooi. Deel gerus hierdie episode met vriende, familie, jy kan dit aanstuur op WhatsApp, en dit is altyd so lekker om van die luisteraars te hoor op sosiale media. Sê hallo, vertel vir ons wat julle geniet, en dan ja, ek wens vir een en elke luisteraar 'n geseënde week. Mag julle ook 'n week van vrede en voorspoed geniet, en weet dat die Here is met ons elke tree van elke dag. Tot volgende week, tot ziens.
Hierdie inset was aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.